B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Yumad Daf Nun Gimel. We're going to start 11 lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis, Omud Beis, from the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, and we'll remember that in the previous Mishnah, Daf early on Daf Nun Aleph, Omud Beis, the Mishnah told us that the Kohen Gadol, holding the shovel of the coals in his right hand, the cuff with the Ktoires in the other hand, and he was now walked through the Heichal. We discussed in the previous Mishnah exactly what direction he took, how he got to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's now at the curtains of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And these Mishnayos are discussing the second Beis HaMikdash, where there were two curtains or one curtain, that's a discussion previously. So but the Chachomim in the Mishnah, they hold there were two curtains, and he's now reached the outermost curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hachitzoino hoiso perufo min hadorim. The outer curtain was pinned up from the dorim side. On the dorim is the south, but facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the left. And as we said, that everybody agrees that the curtain closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim was open on the tzofin. And this opinion holds that there were two curtains. The outer curtain was opened on the dorim. Upnimis, and the inner curtain, Minatzofin, was actually Perufa. It was pinned up on the Tzofin side, which was on the right-hand wall, and it had to be pinned up so that the Kohen Gadol would be able to walk through whilst holding the two shovels in his, the coals and the Keteres in his hands. Mahalech Binem, he would go from the Dorim side through the entranceway of the curtain that was pinned up, and he would go till the entrance by the Dorim side of the Heichal, and then he would, so to speak, make a right towards the Tzofin. Mahalech b'neim ad shemagia l'tzofin. He would walk between the two curtains, and here the Mefarshim discuss that he would have to use his elbows to make his way through the curtains, so that chas v'shalom, the curtains shouldn't get burnt from the coals. He would walk to all the way to the Tzofin wall. Higia l'tzofin, when he reached the tzofin wall, now on his left, on the Kohen Gadol's left, on the tzofinmost side of the inner curtain, and then there was an entrance there, the curtain was pinned up on the tzofin, as we saw before, upnimis min ha-tzofin. Hoifich ponov ledorim, he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and make a left. Now he's facing the dorim. Mahalech l'smoiloi im ha-pareiches, he would walk along the curtains, along the pareiches. The curtains were now on his left, Achu magia l'orin, until he would reach the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the area where the orin was sitting, and he would make his way towards the orin. Higia l'orin, when he would reach the orin, the noisenes ha-machto, he would put the machto, the shovel with the coals, down bein shnei abadim, between the two poles of the Orin. And even though we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, and there was no Orin in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara will discuss what the Mishnah means, is that the space where what would have been the area between the two poles, had there been an Orin, that's where he would put the shovel down. And then he would pour onto the coals the Ktoires. Tzovar es ha-Ktoires al gabi gecholim, he would pile up the Ktoires on top of the coals. V'nismale kol habayis kule oshon, and the whole room, the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim, would get filled with smoke. At that point, yotza uboloi, he would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim, b'derech beis knisosai, he would actually leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim in exactly the same position that he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means that he's now going to walk backwards with the curtain still on his left. He'll walk backwards till the Tzofin wall and leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when he reaches the Heichal, Umispanil Tfilo Ktzora, he says a very short tefillah, Bebeis HaChitzoin in the Heichal, which is called Chitzoin relative to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'loi hayo marich b'tfiloso, he would not be marich, he would not say a long tefillah. Shlei lehav is es Yisrael, not to scare the Klal Yisrael, not to frighten or worry them, because there were times where the Kohen Gadol, for whatever reason, he would die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if he took too long whilst davening there, it would make the rest of Klal Yisrael scared as to the fate of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore just say a very short tefillah and leave. Says the Gemara, B'mayos Kinon, What is this Mishnah talking about? Where this Mishnah mentions the two curtains. Ilema b'migdash rishon. Are we talking about the first Beis HaMikdash? Mihava Pareches? Was there any Pareches there? There was no Pareches there. There was the Amo Traxin that we learnt about previously. There was a wall between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And we'll soon see them. The truth is that even in the first Beis HaMikdash where there was a wall, there was a curtain in the center of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. In the center of that wall, there was a curtain. But here we're talking about going to the Dorim, going through the curtain, walking to the Tzofin, going through the next curtain. All that didn't apply in the first Beis HaMikdash. Elo b'Mikdash Sheni, it must be talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. We have Orin. You're talking about putting the shovel down between the poles of the Orin. There was no Orin in the second Beis HaMikdash. V'otanya, did we not learn in a Braisa, Misha Nignaz Orin, from at the time, at the end, towards the end of the Beis Rishon, before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the Orin was hidden, then Nignaz Imoy, and with the Orin was hidden, Tzintzenes Hamon, the jar that held some of the mon, Utzluchis Shemin HaMishcha, and the flask with some of the oil that was used to anoint the Shemin HaMishcha, Umakli Shel Aron, and Aron HaKohen's stick, Ushkeideo, and its almonds, Uprocheo, and its blossoms, V'Argaz, and with it was also the box, Yeshigroi Plishtim Doiron Ilikei Yisrael, that the Plishtim sent as a gift, so to speak, to Elokei Yisrael, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ulekachtem es Aron Hashem. What happened was the Plishtim had confiscated the Orin at some point, and now they had sent the Orin back to Klal Yisrael because the Plishtim realized that there were many tragedies was befalling them because they had captured the Orin. And the Pasuk says, Ulekachtem es Aron Hashem, Unesatem Oisoi El Ho Agolo, Ve'eis Klei Hazov Asher Hashivoisem Loi Osham, Tosimu Ba'argaz Mitzidoi, Vishilachtem Oisoi Vaholoch. That these gifts that were, so to speak, sent back to Elokei Yisrael, they were placed in right next to the Orin. And the fact that it says in the Pasuk that they were placed Tosimu Ba'argaz Mitzidoi in a box next to the Orin, so they accompanied the Orin wherever it went. And when the Orin got hidden, then so too did this box get hidden. That's the pasuk that it says, Tosimu ba'argaz mitzidei v'shelachtem oisoi v'holoch. Umi gonzoi, and who was the one that hid the Orin? Yeshayahu gonzoi, it was Yeshayahu anovi. Ma ra'osh gonzoi, why did Yeshayahu hide the Orin? Ra'osh kosov, he saw that it says in the pasuk, Yoileich Hashem oischa, Hashem is going to send, is going to lead you, ve'esmalkecho ashatokim olecho, with the king that you'll have over you, el goya shelo yodato, to a nation, to people that you don't know, atov avisecho vavato shomelim achirim eitz for. So Yeshayahu Anovi saw in the psukim that at some point, Klal Yisrael would be sent into exile, and therefore, Omad v'gonzo, he was afraid that whoever was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was going to take the Orin as well, therefore he hid the Orin. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer laLeviim hamavinim l'chol Yisrael, that, and he said to the Leviim, those who taught Klal Yisrael, HaKadoshim l'Hashem, they are Kodesh to Hashem, Tnu es Aroin HaKodesh, Babayis HaShebono Shloimo ben David Melech Yisrael, place the Oroin into the bayis, into the room, into the place that Shlomo HaMelech had built. And obviously this doesn't mean put the Orin in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was there already. Rather it means hide it in a special room that was made for this purpose by Shlomo HaMelech. Ashebono Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, in lochem maso bakoseif, and these Leviim no longer will have to carry the Orin. Ato, and from now, Ivdu es Hashem Elokeichem v'Yis'amu Yisrael, you'll just serve Hashem and Klal Yisrael, his people, and from this point, the Orin will be hidden and will no longer be taken anywhere. So you see here that the Orin was hidden. See, if in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no Orin, then there's the question in our Mishnah. If the Mishnah is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, how can you speak about the space between the two poles? V'omer Rebbe Loza says, how do we know? So we know about the box that was sent by the Plishtim as a gift, so that stayed with the Orin. But how do we know that the other things were hidden with the Orin, the Tzintzenes Hamon, and the Tzleichis of the Shemin HaMishcha, and the Makle Shel Arin? So Rebbe Loza says there's some Gzeir Shavas. Asya Shama, Shama. That we learn that it says by the Oroin, Shama. It says in the Pasuk, Asher Ivoid Lecha, Shama, by the Oroin. And regarding the Mon, it says in the Pasuk, Kach Tzentzenes Achatz V'sen Shama. So we can learn that Tzentzenes Hamon was always stayed together with the Oroin. V'asya, we learn from the Mon, Doiris, Doiris. It says by the Mon, V'hanachoyse Lifnei Hashem L'mishmeres L'doiris Eichem. And it also says regarding the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil, V'al B'nei Yisrael T'daber Leimor, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezeh Li L'doirisam. So we learn that in the same way as the Mon was always next to the Oroin, so too the Shemen HaMishcha. V'asya, Mishmeres, Mishmeres, and we also learn from the Mon in that same pasuk. It says, "V'hanachoytzei lifnei Hashem lemishmeres l'doyreisam." And by the makle shel Aaron, the stick of Aaron, it says in the pasuk, "Vayim Hashem al Moshe hoshev es mati Aaron lifnei eidos lemishmeres l'ois lifnei Mary," etc. So we see that it says mishmeres by the stick of Aaron and mishmeres by the Mon in the same way as the Mon stayed with the Aaron, so too Aaron's stick. And this is the end of the question. So what we know from all this is that the Oroin was hidden. So if the Mishnah is talking about the Bayis Sheni, how can he speak about between the poles? Answer to the Gemara, La'olam Migdash Sheni. The Mishnah is talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we understand that there were two curtains there. Umay Higia L'Oroin. What does it mean that he reached the Oroin, just he was facing the Oroin, and he put it down between the poles? Mokim Oroin. It doesn't mean the Oroin itself. It means that he reached the place where the Oroin was positioned in the first Beis HaMikdash. But it says explicitly, put the shovel down in between the two poles. There were no poles there. That put it in a place where had there been badim, had there been poles there, that would have been the place to put it. Continues the Gemara. Now this takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that he would pile the k'toires onto the coals. Tzavur, he would heap as a k'toires al gabi g'cholim. Tanan, our Mishnah, commander Omar Tzavra. This Mishnah is going according to the opinion that says that the k'toires was actually heaped onto the coals. Because this was actually a machlekas. And we've seen previously there was a machlekas whether it was spread out over the coals or whether it was heaped over the coals. And our Mishnah clearly holds like the opinion that Tzavar. Continues the Gemara. Regarding exactly how he would heap up the k'tayres onto the coals. Don't forget, he's got his cupped hands, got two hands full of k'tayres, which he now has to pour, heap onto the coals. So he can either start the place furthest away from his body and slowly make that heap whilst pulling his hand back towards himself. Or he could start closest to his body and make the heap by spilling it out of his hands whilst moving his hands away from himself. What position, how would he do it? Tanya Chodim, one Bryce, it says, Tzavra Pnimo, he would start closest to the Oroin, Shehi Chutzalei, which is the furthest away from the Kohen, and as he would pour, he would draw his hands towards himself. But Tanya, another Bryce, says the opposite. He starts furthest away from the Oroin, closest to Shehi Pnimaloi, which is the closest to himself, and as he's pouring, he moves his hands towards the Oroin. So it was Machlekas in the Brises. Omar Abaya, Abaya says, Tanoi, it's a Machlekas Tanoim. Vomar Abaya, Mistabra Commander Omar, is probable, like that first Brisa, that Pnimoshi Chutzalo, he would start furthest away from himself. Ditnan. Because we learnt in a Mishnah regarding the everyday k'tayres in Maseches Tomid, where there would be a k'tayres not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Mizbeach inside the Heichal, they would put coals there, and the k'tayres would be placed on the coals. And there it says regarding that, it says in the Mishnah, Melamdim Oisai, we teach the Kohen who's doing the k'tayres, Hizoyer, be careful, Shaloi Taschil Miponecha, don't start closest to you and then move away from yourself, because as you're putting the k'tayres onto the coals, very hot smoke is going to rise, and if you're going to then continue moving away from you over the coals, you're going to burn yourself. Shemo tichvem, you may burn yourself from the hot smoke that's coming up. And the same as we see that there, the same would apply. It says, Abai, it's probable that Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kodashim, the same thing would apply. If you start furthest away from the Kohen Gadol and then slowly draw it back towards himself, his arm is never going to be hanging over the smoke coming up. If he starts closest to himself and then he moves his hands further away from himself, then the smoke, the raising smoke, may burn him. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in a brisa that the pasuk says, "V'nosan es haktoires al ho'esh lifnei Hashem." Put the ktoires on the fire before Hashem when you're in the kodesh hakodashim. Shelo yisakin b'chutz. Don't prepare it outside whilst you're still outside the kodesh hakodashim. V'yachnis, and only after you've put the ktoires on the coals, then you'll come into the kodesh hakodashim. No, and this is lahoitzi milibon shel tzidukim. This is contrary to the incorrect idea and opinions of the tzidukim, sh'oimrim, they would say yisakin mibachutz v'yachnis. You should first put the k'tayres on the coals outside the kodesh hakodashim, and only that way they would go in. My dorosh, what posuk did they learn? It was a mistake, but what posuk did they learn that would have suggested that you have to prepare it before? The posuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe daber el Aaron nechicho va'al yovi b'choleis el hakodesh mibeis laporeches al pnei hakapoyres asha al orin v'leyomus ki be'onon eiroe al hakapoyres, that when you will come to the kapoyres, when you'll come to the orin, it should be be'onon with a cloud of smoke. Melamed, so what do you see from there? That you have to have the smoke before you come inside into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Melamed shiyasakin mibachutz, you prepare it outside, v'ikonis and the biachnis, and then you go in, you take the k'tayres in. It was a mistake, but that's what the tzedukim learnt. Omrulem chachomim, the chachomim said no. V'aloi kvar nema, it says in the pasuk explicitly, the pasuk at the top of the omud, v'nosan es haktayres alo eish lifnei Hashem. You should put the k'tayres on the cold only when you're inside. And if you're going to ask, you're going to ask, how are we going to learn the pasuk that says that when you come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you should come in with a smoke, or with the onon? All that tells us is, make sure that in the Kodesh you have an ingredient of male oshon. You have this spice, this herb, inside the Kodesh, that is going to cause the smoke to go up in a straight line, and that will make the whole room smoke up. And how do we know that you need this ingredient of male oshon? And it's an interesting question, because you just said now that we need it, we learn it from the pasuk, keep it on oneroa alakapiris, that you have to take the kteres in with the potential of becoming an onon, which becoming a cloud of smoke, when that is only thanks to the male oshon. What's the Gemara asking? The Gemara will handle that soon. But either way, the Bryce is asking, Uminayin Shinoisim Bo Male Oshon, Shinemer, it says in the Pasuk, the first Pasuk that we had here, V'chiso Anan Haktoires Es Hakapoires. And it says in this Pasuk, number one, V'chiso Anan Haktoires. It has to be the smoke of the Ktoires is going to cover up Es Hakapoires, the Orin, the covering of the Orin. So if it mentions there the anan, it must have the male oshon, this ingredient that's going to make it smoke up. And also it says hakteres, and we see from the word hakteres that all the ingredients have to be in. If any one of the ingredients are missing, it's invalid. So from this pasuk we see that ha loy nosan ba male oshon, if you do not put male oshon, oy shechiser achas michol samaneo, or if any one of the spices are missing from the k'tayres, chayev misa, then the kohen who's bringing the k'tayres is chayev misa. V'tepek lei dekomayil biorakonis. Why do I need a pasuk to say that when the k'tayres is invalid because there's something missing, that the pasuk, what does it say in the pasuk there? V'chiso anana k'tayres es hakapoyres. How does the pasuk continue? Asher ala idus v'lo yomus. That's how we learn that if it's not hakteres, which means if any one of the ingredients are missing, and it's not with anan hakteres, it's not with the male oshon, it'll be chayev misa. Why do I need a posuk in the parashah of kteres, in parashah zachrimis, by the Yom Kippur Avodah? Why do I need a posuk there to say that if the kteres is invalid, that he'll be chayev misa? If the kteres is invalid, it's as if he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without kteres. And that's called that Ma'ayel is going in biorei konis. a bia going in reikonis and empty, a useless entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that in its own right is chiyuv misa, as it says in the pasuk, va'al yovei b'chol eis v'lo yamos. That if you come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim not with the intent of doing the avodah, then you'll be chayiv misa. Don't need a pasuk to say that when one of the ingredients are missing, hence rendering the ketores invalid, that if you bring them in, you're chayiv misa. So there's two answers here. Omer of sheishes hachab ma'askinon kegoin sheshogag b'biyo v'hizid b'haktora. We know that a person will only be chayiv misa if he does an avera b'mezid intentionally, not if he does it by mistake. So in the event that he only went in by mistake, he forgot that it was also to go in. He went in by mistake, v'hizid b'haktora, but he intentionally brought in ketores that was invalid, that was missing one of the ingredients. That's what we have a special pasuk to say, that even though you will not be chayev misa for bior ikonis because you did that b'shegig, but you will be chayev for bringing ketores shechiser achas mikol samonel. That was Rav Sheshes' answer. Rav Ashi omar, afilu teima hizid bazu ubazu, even if both were b'mezid, we need both pasuk. Both psukim, kagoin da'ayil shtei haktoris. If he brought two sets of ketores at the same time while it's coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had one ketores that was missing and one that was not missing. Achas shleima, one that was complete. V'achas chaseira, one that was missing. So abia, so on the coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lo mechayev, he won't be chayev because it's not a biur ikonis. He didn't come in for nothing. He had kosher ketores with him. Domai lo shleima, because he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with ketores that was not lacking. A haktorah, but the second one, the ketores that he's going to put on, which is lacking, which is missing, mechayev, he's going to be chayev. Doha miktar ketores chaseira, because if he burns ketores, which is missing any ingredient, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's chayev misa. That's the separate pasuk that says, v'lo yomus, that he'll be chayev for chiser achas mikol samanel. And now the Gemara is going back to the Braisa. The Braisa started by saying that, in contrast to what the Tzedukim said, that from the Pasuk of Ki be'ono nerua la kapiras, they learned that you have to put the ketores on the coals before you go in. The Chacham said, no, that's not what you learn from there. You learn from there that you need the ingredient called Ma'ale Oshon, the ingredient that will ultimately, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the ketores is poured onto the coals, it will make the smoke go up in a straight line, and that shaft of smoke, because it's going up like that, will then hit the ceiling, then it will disperse the ceiling level on the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim, and when there's no more area to disperse, the smoke will then travel down the walls and fill up the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the source that you need, Ma'ale Oshon. And then immediately after that, the Braisa says, "Minayin shenoisim bo Ma'ale Oshon?" How do you know you need Ma'ale Oshon? And we bring the other pasuk, which is in many psukim later, in pasuk Yud Gimel, we bring the pasuk that says there, "V'chisa ananak teres." So we've got two psukim that mention the ananak teres. We shouldn't really need two psukim; one would be enough. Omar mar, "Minayin shenoisim bo Ma'ale Oshon?" Talmud leimar, "V'chisa." You learn that from the V'chisa, that's in Pasuk Yud Gimel. But I don't understand. A moment earlier you said that you learn it from the Pasuk Ki be'ono nerua la kapiras, which is Pasuk Beis. Why do I need also Pasuk Beis Ki be'ono nerua la kapiras, and also Pasuk Yud Gimel that says V'chisa anan haktiras? And we're going to have six answers to this question. Why do we need two psukim to tell us that you need the Ma'ale Oshon? Likra, this is the question of the Gemara. Do I need a pasuk to be a source for what it says in another pasuk? Because you bring one pasuk beis, ki be'ono nerua la kapiras, then you bring another pasuk, and how do you know that you need the onon? And then you bring pasuk yud gimel, v'chisa anan akteres, we don't need a pasuk to back up another pasuk. So we're going to see six answers. Omer of Yosef, first answer of Yosef says, hochi ka'omar. The Braisa means to say like this, ein li elo alo. Ma'ale Oshon. The Ma'ale Oshon was a certain plant. This plant has a root and it has a leaf. I may have thought that you're only allowed to use the leaf, which is the best part of this plant, to do the Ma'ale Oshon. I may have thought you're only allowed to use the alo of the Ma'ale Oshon. Iker Ma'ale Oshon, but the root of this plant called Ma'ale Oshon. Minayin, how do you know that's also okay? Talmud Leima V'chisa. That's what I need Pasuk Yud Gimel to say, V'chisa ananak teres, as long as it's going to achieve the results, that the whole room is going to become full of smoke, it suffices. Omale Abaya, Abaye said to Rav Yosef that it seems from you, Rav Yosef, that it's preferable to use the leaf, and you need a separate pasuk to say you're also allowed to use the root. V'ha'ibchatanya, in a braise, it seems to say the opposite. De Tanya, nosan bo ikar male oshon, that the kohen gadol, they put in, whoever prepares the ketores, puts in the root of the male oshon, and hoyom metamer v'oile v'kemakel, then the smoke would rise up like a stick, until it reaches the ceiling. Once it reaches the ceiling, it then goes all across the ceiling and goes down the walls. Until the whole house is full of smoke, until the whole Kodesh HaKadoshim is full of smoke, Shnemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yanu'u amois hasifim mikoil ha'kirei v'habayis yimolei oshon. The whole Kodesh HaKadoshim fills with smoke. But what do you see from there? That they would put in, what would they put in? Ikar male oshon, the roots, not the leaf. If it's more preferable to use the leaf, why doesn't it say there, nosan bo ale male oshon, the leaf of the male oshon? Elom Abaya, this is the second explanation. Abaya says, Hochik Omar, in the same theme as Rav Yosef, just the other way around, Ein Yelo Ikar male oshon, that the Brice is telling me that if it would just say one posuk in posuk base, Aimer thought you have to use only the, you're only allowed to use the root of the male oshon, which is the most preferable part. Alo male oshon, but to use the leaf minayin, how do you know? Talmud lema v'chisa, that's what it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'chisa ananak teres, anything that will cause the Kodesh HaKadoshim to become full of smoke suffices. The third answer of Sheishes Omar, Ein li elo oihel moed Shebamidbor, that if I'd only have the first pasuk, the pasuk base that says ki be'onon iroy ala kapeiras, I may have thought that you're only chayev misa if you don't put male oshon. That means you're only chayev to put male oshon only in the oil moed in the midbar in the mishkan. Shiloi, however, in mishkan shiloi, not in the midbar ubeis elamim and the beis hamikdash minayin. How do you know that there also you need this ingredient called male oshon? Talmud lema v'chisa, that's why it says, we learn that from Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'chisa anan ha'k'teres, ala kapeiras asha alo edus, that anywhere, any mishkon or beis hamikdash, wherever the shechina is, that's where you have to have ma'ale oshon. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara asks now against Rav Sheishes, that we learn that out from another Pasuk. Hi, this is learnt out from the pasuk that says v'chein yase le'oil moed hashoichin itom b'toichtum oisom. They says there that wherever the avoid of the Yom HaKippurim has to be done anywhere where Hashem is residing with you. So you see from there that whatever had to be done in the Mishkan had to be done in Mishkan Shiloh and in the Beis Olamim, in the Beis Hamikdash. So what, I don't need the pasuk Yud Gimel v'chisa ananak teres to tell me that. Elo, the fourth explanation, Hochi Komar, Ein li elo b'yom HaKippurim. I may have thought that you only chayev to put male oshon in the k'tayres on Yom Kippur. B'shari mois hashono, but the k'tayres that is done the whole year, the k'tayres that wasn't done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was done in the Heichal, but it was done the whole year. Minayin, how do you know that there also you need to have the male oshon? Talmud lema v'chisa, that's what Pasuk Yud Gimel is telling us. V'chisa nana k'tayres, akapayres. Aloedus v'loyomus is teaching us that whenever you do the k'teres, you need to have male oshon. Rav Ashi Omar, this is the fifth explanation. Chad le mitzvah v'chad le akiv. That they're talking about the say. They're both psukim are talking about the same thing. If you would only say it once, I would think it's a mitzvah to put male oshon. How do I know it's essential? Without it, it's ma'akev and it's invalid. That's when it says it twice, and we know there's a rule that whenever the Torah says something twice, then definitely regarding kolchim, it's a shailin or a shainim regarding other areas in Torah. But in these halachas, if it says something twice, it's there to teach us that it's ma'akev. Rava Omar, this is the sixth answer. Rava said, chad la'oinish v'chad la'azhorah. We know that whenever a person is chayev misa, then the pasuk has warned him and have told him the punishment. So here you've got the two psukim. Pasuk Beis says, ki be'onon iroa la kapeiras, which means that's the warning, make sure you put in male oshon so that there should be a cloud of smoke. And the second pasuk, the pasuk Yud Gimel, tells us, v'lo yomus, that if you do not put male oshon, it'll be chayev misa. Titanium, we saw this in a braise, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, v'lo yomus, the Pasuk Yud Gimel where it says V'la Yomus Oynish, that's the punishment, and the Pasuk Beis that says Ki Be'on Onei Roy, Azhara, that's the warning. And now the Braisa is taking us to another related topic, and that is that we know that Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron HaKohen, they brought Keteres, and we know that when they brought Keteres, then a fire came out and killed them, they both got killed. So we're assuming at this point that the reason they got killed was because they brought the Keteres, but they did not put in the ingredient called Male Oshon. So Gemara's, the Braisa is saying, Yochel yu shneem amurim kaidem mises b'nei Aaron. Can we assume that both of these psukim, the warning and the punishment, was both said before the sons of Aaron died, and then that would explain why they died? Talmud Lema says the Braisa no, because it says in the pasuk, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, achrei Mois shnei bnei Aaron b'kar vasam leshfnei Hashem vayomusu." It says clearly that this parasha of the Avodah Yom Kippurim was said after the sons of Aaron died. Can it be that both the psukim that were said, also the one we use, the pasuk base, which is the warning, and also the punishment, were both said after Aaron's children died? Talmud Lema, no. It says in pasuk base, Ki be'onon eiroe ala kapoyres. And the word eiroe seems to be in future tense. Gemara is about to explain it. But from this pasuk, Ki be'onon eiroe, Alakapiris, we learn that the Shekhinah had not yet come down. And we know that the sons of Aaron died after the Shekhinah came down. Hoketzat. How do we learn this Pasuk? Or how do we understand that part of the Psukim happened after they died, which was after the Shekhinah came down, and part of the Psukim were there before the Shekhinah came down, which is definitely before they died? As Hora Koidem Misa, the Pasuk base that's warning them by saying Ki be'ono niroa la kapeires, that was said before they die. But oynish, the punishment of that if you do not put male oshon, you'll be chayiv misa, that was achar misa, that was only said after they died. My Talmudah, where do you see in the pasuk that from the word Ki be'ono niroa that it was before they died? This Pasuk base, how do you know that the Pasuk base, which is the warning, was given before they died? Omar Rava, Omar Kro, because it says in the Pasuk, Ki be'onon eiroi, eiroi is in future tense. I will rest the Shekhinah on you in the cloud of the Keteres. Vadayin lo nira, but not yet, they hadn't yet, the Shekhinah had not yet come down. So this was clearly before they died. But the Pasuk Yud Gimel that says that V'lo Yomos, that if you don't put Ma'ale Oshon, then it's Chayiv Misa, that was not said before they died. So the Gemara says, if so, V'elo Ma'itam I'anush. If you didn't tell them it was punishable by death, how can you put them to death? Says the Gemara, they died for a completely different reason. They didn't die because there was no Ma'ale Oshon. They died, K'detanya Rebeleza Oimer, Lo'imesu B'nei Aaron, the reason that Aaron died was only Elo, because they introduced a halacha which was 100% correct, but they said it before Moshe Rabbeinu, and they didn't ask him first, they just stated a halacha before him. My Dorosh, where would we see that in the Psukim? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish ala mizbeach, that the sons of Aaron, they placed fire onto the mizbeach. What did they say from this pasuk? That even though the Shekhinah brought down fire from Shemayim, mitzvah lahavim in a hedyot, nonetheless, it's a mitzvah for the human beings, for the kohens, the hedyot, to go and put fire there. So even though there was fire there, it says v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish, they took fire, even though there was already fire from min ha-shamayim. They added fire because it was a mitzvah. They were right. There is a mitzvah to put fire. But did you ask Moshe Rabbeinu permission first? They were Moira Alocha b'fnei Moshe Rabbon, and that's why they were Chayiv Misa. Continues the Mishnah, taking us back to the next stage in the Mishnah. Yotzo Obolo Derech Knisosei. When the Kohen Gadol would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would leave walking backwards. That means in the same position he was in when he came in, facing Dorim, first, and then facing the Orin. On the way back, he would just backtrack his steps, walking backwards. Minoan Emeli, What would be the source for that? Where do we know that it's important when one's going to the Shekhinah, that it's important that one walks away, one walks backwards? Omer Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer Bionason, Omer Kro, this is learned from a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The pasuk says, Vayoyime, Vayovoy Shloimoy, Shloim HaMelech came, La Bomo, Asher Begivoin, Yerushalayim. So we have to understand, Moshe Shloim HaMelech came from Yerushalayim to Givoin, which is where the Boma was. The Boma was in place of the Mishkan, but that's where they would bring the Korbanos. There was a Boma there. So Shloim came from Yerushalayim to Givoin. The problem is, why does it say, La Boma Asher BeGivoin Yerushalayim, V'chimayin in Givoin Heitzel Yerushalayim? Givoin is known as Yerushalayim. Elo Makish Yitzioseim MeGivoin LeYerushalayim, The reason that the pasuk puts the two words Givoin Yerushalayim together is to compare his going from Givoin to Yerushalayim to his coming from Yerushalayim to Givoin. Ma bi'osim Yerushalayim leGivoin. In the same way as when he came from Yerushalayim to Givoin, ponov klapi bomo, his face was facing Givoin. It was facing the bomo, facing the kedusha. Kederech bi'osim. So too, when he was going back home, after he finished in Givoin, he was going back to Yerushalayim, ponov klapi bomo, his face was facing the Kedusha, it remained facing the bomo in Givoin, kederech biosoi, in the way he came. Continues the Gemara, v'chein kohanim ba'avidosam, also the kohanim when they're doing the avoida, u'levim b'duchonam, the levim who are on their stage playing the musical instruments, v'yisrael b'mamodon, and those of Yisrael that represented all the Eden that had to be there to, at the time that the Korban Tomid was brought, there was a few people who would be there on behalf of Klal Yisrael to be present whilst the Korban Tomid was being brought, that all of these Kashem Niftorim, when they leave the Beis HaMikdash, when they leave their place of Avodah, lo yoyu machzirim pneim, they wouldn't just turn around, turn their backs on where they were, v'hilchin, and go. Ela matzadim pneim, they would slightly turn their bodies to the side, v'hilchin, and they would sort of walk backwards, sideways, stroke backwards, in respect for the place of the avoida. And the Gemara continues, v'chein talmid aniftar mirabbi. Also a talmid that's going away from his rebbe, lo yachzir ponov v'yelech, he shouldn't just turn away and with his back towards his rebbe and walk away. Ela matzadim ponov v'yelech, he should slightly turn to the side and walk backwards away from his rebbe. Kihad Rebbe Elazar, as we see from Rebbe Elazar, could have a miftar minei Rebbe Yochanan when he would leave Rebbe Yochanan his rebbe. Then it didn't matter either way whether it was Rebbe Elazar taking leave of his rebbe Rebbe Yochanan or Rebbe Yochanan taking leave of Rebbe Elazar. So could have a boy Rebbe Yochanan lizguya when his rebbe Rebbe Yochanan, when it was time for him to go, have a gochin. Koi Rebbe Elazar Duchte, Rebbe Elazar would stand in his place and bow in respect. Ad have a michzir Rebbe Yochanan minei, until Rebbe Yochanan was concealed from him, could no longer see his rebbe. We could have a boy Rebbe Elazar lizguya when Rebbe Elazar the Talmud wanted to go out, have a koozil la'achire, he would go backwards. Ad the michzir minei Rebbe Yochanan until he could no longer see Rebbe Yochanan. Continues the Gemara. Rava could have a miftar minader of Yosef. When Rava would take leave of his Rebbe of Yosef, have a ozil lachire, he would go backwards from Rav Yosef, ad the menagfon kari, until his legs got bruised, umisvason, and askufta, the bear of Yosef, and the threshold of the home of Rav Yosef would get dirtied, doma of the blood that was oozing out of Rava's bruised legs, his bruised feet, because he would go backwards away from his Rebbe of Yosef. And this reminds us somewhat of Rava, who was so immersed in his learning in Shabbos Daf Peches that his fingers would bleed. Omru Leila Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, who was blind, he didn't see the tremendous respect that Rava showed for him. But they told Rav Yosef that this is how your Talmud takes leave of you. And it's amazing that Rava did this even though his Rebbe couldn't see him. Hocha Ovid Rava, they told Rav Yosef, this is what Rava used to do. Omar Leh, so Rav Yosef said to Rava, Yehi Rava, it should be the Rotzen of Hashem, the desire of Hashem, the Torum Reishcha, that your head, that you should be lifted, elevated, Akoyle Krocha, over the whole city, you should become the Rosh Hashiva of the whole town. Omar Reb Alexandri, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamispalel, when somebody is davening Shmoneh Esra, then Tzorech Shiafsia Sholesh Psiyeis Mechayrov, he should go three steps backwards, V'acharkach Yitin Sholim, and then he says the Oise Sholim at the end of the Shmoneh Esra. Omer Leir of Mordechai, so if Mordechai said, Kiven Sheposa Sholesh Psiyeis Lechayrov, once he's gone three steps back, he should remain standing in his place for some time. Exactly how long, the Gemara doesn't tell us. It's a discussion in the Rishonim and in the Poiskim. Moshe le Talmid anifter me rabbi. This is analogous to a Talmid that steps away from his Rebbe. Im choizur le'alto, if he's going to just walk away and then come straight back, is doime le kelev sheshov al kiyoi. It's like it's compared to a dog that vomits and then goes straight back and licks up the vomit. And then Mepharshim discuss what the moshel is, but either way, it's inappropriate to go away and then to come back as if there was no purpose of you going away. If you went away and you stay away, it means that it had a purpose and a need to take leave. But if you just go and come, then it's disrespectful. The Braisa also says that at the end of Shmoneh Esra, a person should take three steps back, and then he says, Oise Sholim. And if he doesn't do that, it would have been better had he not davened. That in the name of Shemaya, or according to the Bach, Rav Shemaya, it was said, Shenoisen Sholim Liyamin. When doing Oise Sholim, you first bow to the right, V'achar kach lesmoil, and then to the left. Where do we see that the right is more prestigious, is more prominent? Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, Miminoi Eish Dos Lomoi, that the Torah was given with Hashem's right hand. V'oimer is another Pasuk that says, Yipoil Mitzitcho, 1,000 of the enemies will fall from your left side, or Ravova Miminecho, and 10,000 will fall from your right side. So you see here that the right side can take on 10,000 when the left can only take on 1,000. So you see the right is stronger and more prestigious. Maiva Oimer, why do I need the second Pasuk? Vachitema, are you going to say, the Braisa means as follows, are you going to say that Urcha de Milsei, Lemesav Biyamin, are you going to say there's no proof from the fact that Hashem gave the Torah with his right hand, so to speak? There's no proof from there that the right is more prominent. Maybe it's just the right is always the hand. It's a stronger hand, and it's the hand that's used to give things. So Hashem gave us the Torah. He gave it with his right hand. And there's no proof that the right is always more prestigious. Toshma, that's why we have the second Pasuk, Yipul Mitzitcho Eref, Elef, Urvovo Miminecho, that you see that the right side is intrinsically more prominent, and therefore should be given, one should start with the right and then move to the left. And obviously these are not concepts that we're allowed to understand in literal terms. Hashem doesn't have hands, and Hashem doesn't have any form whatsoever, but it's just the way that the psukim are talking to us. Rava Chazya la'abaya, Rava saw that Abaya de Yoiv Shalma, when he said Oise Sholim, when he finished Menestra, Liyamina Bereisha, that as we saw before, he first moved to the right and then to the left. To his right and then to his left. Omar Lei, he said to him, Mi Sovras, did you really think that what we meant is Liyamin Ditcha, that you should start with your right? Lismil Ditcha, we meant that your left. Why your left called? Lismil Ditcha Kuamina. When I said the left, when I said the right, I didn't mean your right, I mean your left. When a person is facing somebody else, then my right is facing your left, and your right is facing my left. So if, so to speak, we are facing the Shechina, then the right is more prominent. It means that we have to give recognition to Hashem's right first, which means our left. Omer of Chiyah Bereid Rav Huna, Chazinu Lula Abaye V'Rova De Posil U'Sholish P'siyeis B'Kriya Achas. I saw that Abaye and Rova, when they went back the three steps, it was done with a single bow. They would bow, and whilst in that position, they would go three steps back. Continues the Gemara, U'Mispanil Tfilo K'Torah B'Beis HaChitzoin. We saw in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol, when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he was in the Heichal, he would say a short tefillah. Says the Gemara, Mai Matzli, what would he daven for? This is the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, the greatest man, in the greatest place, the greatest time, is now going to say a tefillah. What's it say in this tefillah? Rav bar Rav Ada, V'Ravin bar Rav Ada, Tarvayu Mishmei Rav. They both said in the name of Rav. Omri, he said as follows: Yehi Rotzin, it should be your desire milfanecha before you, Hashem Elokeinu, shetehe shana zu, that this year should be geshuma. There should be plenty of rain. Ushchuna, and it should be hot. Ushchuna malyasi, he asks the Gemara. Is it an advantage that the year should be hot? Elo'ema, he would say, im shchuna, if it's destined that the year is going to be hot, tehe geshuma, at least there should be lots of rain that the produce can grow. That's what the Kohen Gadol was worried about when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that all of Klal Yisrael should have ample sustenance. Rav Acha b'Reid Rava Masayim Bo Mishmeid Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Yehuda that the Kohen Gadol would continue and end his tefillah with a few other points. Number one, Lo Ya'adi, it should not pass, it should not stop. Ovid Shulton, those who exercise rulership, the kings of Klal Yisrael, Midabes Yehuda, that they should constantly be from the descendants of Yehuda. Another point he would say, V'loyiyu amcha Yisrael tzrichim lefarnei zeh mizeh, the Klal Yisrael should not need to have sustenance one from the other, there should be ample sustenance, everyone on their own. And number three, V'loyitikoneis lefanecha tfilas oivrei drachim. The people who are traveling on their way, they're davening that there shouldn't be rain. The Kohen Gadol would say that tefillah should not be heard by Hashem. Hashem, give the people who need the rain in their fields, give them the rain. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chanina ben Doisa have a ka'ozil ba'urcha. Chanina ben Doisa, who's going, traveling, walking along the way, shoda mitra alei, and rain descended upon him. And it distressed him. Omai said to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Kol Olam Kuloi Benachas, the whole world are happy with this rain. They all have fields. They're very comfortable with the rain. V'chanina b'tzar, and I, Chanina, I'm walking in the rain, and I'm in distress. Posag mitra, Hashem immediately heard his tefillah, and the rain stopped. Ki osa lebeisa, when he came home, Omar, he said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Kol Olam Kuloi b'tzar, the whole world is in distress. They have fields. There's no rain. V'chanina b'nachas, and I, who happen not to have any fields, I'm in comfort. We need the rain. Osa mitra, and immediately the rain started coming down. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Ma'ahanulet sloisa de kohen gadol legaber Rav Chanina ben Doisa." That Rav Chanina ben Doisa, who lived at the end of the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, then Rav Yosef would say that when Rav Chanina ben Doisa was davening, that tefillah would override even the tefillah of the kohen gadol. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, ma'ase b'kohen gadol echad she'erech b'tefilasei. The Mishnah said that he should not be marech b'tfila. Don't stay in the heichal and have a long tefillah. No, because people will be concerned. Maybe if you're taking so long to come out, maybe something happened to the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, try and just say a quick tefillah and come out. There was this Kohen Gadol who was very marech. He spent a long time davening. V'nimnu echov ha-kohenim, and his brethren the kohenim decided likonis echov, to go in. Maybe he's died. They have to go in. They have to take him out. They have to know what to do further. As they started going in, the Kohen Gadol came out. Omrulay, the Kohenim said to the Kohen Gadol, Mifnei marach to bit filoscha, why did you spend so much time davening? Omalehem, he said to them, Koshe b'neichem, is it hard in your eyes? Sheisbalalti aleichem, I davened for you. Well, Beis HaMikdash shalei chorev, I davened that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't get destroyed. So, of course, I need to daven and take my time there. Omrulay, they said to him, Al tirogi lasus kein. You don't become accustomed to doing that. Sherishanino, we learned, Loi hoya marech b'tfilosoi, k'dei shaloi lehavis as Yisrael. It's more important to make sure that the Klal Yisrael waiting for you are not concerned and not worried. Say the short tefillah and come straight back out. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.